No one lights a lamp and puts it under a vessel or under a bed. He places it on a lampstand. This is an easy image to understand because that's what you do with a lamp. Lights are for shining. Or perhaps it's even clearer in today's Gospel acclamation from Matthew's Gospel, Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father." So the central principle here in this Gospel and in the Gospel acclamation are that light is supposed to shine. And that's always true. However, we have to learn the Lord's way of shining His light and follow His guidance. It's a little bit more complicated than simply turning the light switch or putting the lamp on the lampstand. God Himself knows the times when light should be brighter or dimmer or not even seen. You can see this in creation, for example. The sun shines all the time. The sun is on its lampstand. It is just an ornament that God put in creation. But we don't see the sun all the time. In fact, even now, it's rainy season, you don't see the sun all the time. It was visible very early this morning. Did you see that beautiful sunrise? Very bright red sky. Well, now it's cloudy and might be cloudy all day. Well, what about the principle of letting the light shine? It is shining. We can't see it. And God did that. We didn't do it. Something similar happens in the history, in salvation history. Today's first reading comes from Ezra, the remarkable turnaround that the Jewish exiles experienced. Remember, they were exiled into Babylon under the Babylonians. And that was God's plan for them. They had to be exiled. And Jeremiah said, God wants you to stay here for 70 years and flourish here. Don't go back. Get wives for your sons and plant your crops and settle in your exiles. And that was God's plan for that time. But all of a sudden, the Babylonians fall, the Persians rise. The king of Persia is this man Cyrus, a pagan leader. And he says, well, I think it's time for the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. Okay, time for the light to shine, time for the temple to be rebuilt. Was the light of revelation ever turned off? No, but it was obscured by that terrible experience of the exile. God did that. God allowed that. But after 70 years, Cyrus says, and this is the beauty of today's reading, he says, well, I guess it's God's plan for you to go back, so go ahead. And everybody should help the Jews. It's just a remarkable moment of light shining on the chosen people. Now, I have been reflecting on this in light of our own experience in the quarantine. Today is the first day we can have public mass again. The last time we had a public mass here was July 30th. It's a long time to have the light obscured. If you remember, everybody was panicking about the Delta variant, and the government said, we're going to impose ECQ on August 6th. And the bishop said, well, even before the ECQ, we're going to suspend all public liturgies. I don't know what the hurry was, but that was the rule of the bishops, so we obeyed that. Okay, so then we didn't have a public mass from the end of July up until, well, the shift from MECQ to alert level 4, that was last Thursday, but who knows what that means. So now we don't use CQ anymore, now we use alert levels. Well, today's, we're in alert level 4, which means we can have 10% occupancy of the chapel. Now, I'm not saying that the government shouldn't do these things. I don't know. That's the responsibility of the government to secure public health as best they can. And I wouldn't want to be in that position. No one knows how to do this. So that's not my complaint. But I do complain about this. We who are Catholics do not let the government determine the value of the Holy Mass. Maybe liturgies have to be suspended, maybe. But that shouldn't be the government's... We shouldn't follow the government's criteria in such an absolute way. Why? Because we can't expect the government to know the light that we have received. We're the ones who have the light. Especially Catholics, all Christians, but especially Catholics. The sacraments are an extraordinary light. So, here we are. I find this very striking. On the day we begin our public masses, we have Cyrus telling us to go and establish worship in Jerusalem. Go back and get this thing going again. That's kind of what he said, and that's what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Don't let this pandemic stop the worship of God. Of course not. And then we have in the gospel, Jesus talking about putting the lamp on a lampstand. There's nothing hidden that will not become visible. Yes, maybe it won't be visible all the time, but in time, light will shine. In time, truth will be revealed. There's nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. In the eyes of the government, again, I'm not blaming the government, they don't have light. They're doing the best they can with human knowledge. In the eyes of the government, a mass is like, or going to a mass is like going to a restaurant or going to a barber shop. Because that's the same rules, 10% indoors, 30% outdoors. Same rules for barbershops, for restaurants, and for religious gatherings. Well, this is not just a religious gathering. And I'm saying, speaking to Catholics now, this is not just a religious gathering, this is a mass. This is a sacrament, a sacramental expression of an eternal mystery. It's the making present of something that outweighs the value of life itself and of all creation. You think the sun is important in the sky? The Eucharist is more important than the sun. So we don't use the standards of religious gatherings and restaurants and barbershops. We are called to let this light shine. I'm not preaching disobedience. I'm saying we have a different standard. We have different criteria by which we evaluate what we're doing. Even if we can't do it, we still value it more than going to a restaurant or a basketball game. You understand what I'm saying? So maybe you shut down the stadiums and the restaurants, and maybe the masses have to be suspended for a while. But that's obscuring a light that should shine. Now, like I said, God Himself allows the light to be obscured. I think we can learn a lot from today's saints, the Korean martyrs. The Koreans who discovered the Catholic faith were brutally persecuted, and they could not let that light shine. In fact, they didn't even have the Eucharist for hundreds of years. All they had was baptism. So they couldn't let the light shine, and they shouldn't, because if they did, they got killed. So they had to be an underground church for generations. They're not the only ones, but they're the ones we're celebrating today. Well, what is this? Why would the church have to go underground? You know, in every season of persecution, the church continues her life in darkness, in what looks like darkness to the society, but it's never dark to the people of faith. Now, we continue to pray, we continue to worship, we continue to celebrate the sacraments, even if it's can't be done publicly, it can't stop either, because this is the light of the world. Well, the Korean martyrs, the Korean believers, maintained their faith through, as they say, years of really brutal persecutions. The government there thought that Christianity was an invasion of foreign influence, and it had to be crushed. And they tried to crush it. Thousands of people were martyred. They say tens of thousands. Did that put out the light? No. It didn't work. Because, as Jesus says, there is nothing hidden that will not become visible. So the hidden church of Korea has become visible now. In fact, it's one of the strongest churches in Asia, in Korea. Nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. It comes to light. In fact, even the martyrdom of these Koreans, that wasn't that widely known when it happened. Who knew that thousands of people were laying down their lives for Jesus Christ in Korea? Nobody knew it. Came out later. So when it comes to letting the light shine, we don't follow the dictates of the world. We follow the Lord. The Lord does allow times when the light can't shine, at least not as we understand it. In fact, yesterday, think of what happened in yesterday's gospel. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. That was yesterday's gospel. Jesus himself didn't want his light to shine yet, or in that place at that time. Why? I don't know. Only God knows some things. Why light shines today and not tomorrow? Why it's cloudy today and sunny tomorrow? Why we're under quarantine today and not tomorrow? I don't know. But the principle is the light is made to shine, and in God's time it will shine. Light will be made known. So whether we're in exile in Babylon, or we're in the underground church of Korea, or we're in a alert level 4, or whatever we're in, this light can never really be extinguished. It can be hidden, and people might not notice it right away, but it's an inextinguishable light. And our task is to let our light shine, guided by God, not guided by the government, guided by God. Let him determine how and when to let the light shine. Doesn't mean that you go home now and turn on your loudspeaker and start reading the gospel to your grandchildren. There are times when you can make known the light of faith, and there are times when you have to remain underground, but let the Holy Spirit be the guide, not the standards of the world. Okay, so let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Heavenly Father. Amen.